Good morning. It's great to see you guys. It would be interesting to know in a typical week just how many decisions you make. I mean, if you were just to think about how many decisions you make in a typical week, it would probably just blow our minds. This morning we're going to look at how to make wise decisions. You can turn your Bibles to Proverbs 3. We'll get to that in just a minute. But we're going to look at how to make wise decisions. Proverbs, more than any other book in the Bible, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, has more to say about wisdom, how to make wise decisions, how to be a wise person, than any other book in the Bible. And so we'll get to that in just a minute. But if you were to think about, just in a typical week, the decisions that you make, and I'm not talking about just unimportant decisions, you know, like trivial decisions about, you know, should I hit the snooze alarm a second time? What color socks should I put on today? Or does this match? Or things like that. I'm talking about real important decisions, how you're going to spend your time this week or this day. And you're looking at your day and you're thinking, what's most important? And should I do this? Or should I do this? And who should I give my time to? And when I give my time to this person or my children, what should we do in this time? Or maybe it's a money decision. You've probably made how many, there are probably dozens of money decisions this week, some of them important. How will I invest this money, or how will I spend this money? Is this a wise decision on how to use my money? You've made decisions about friendships this week and which ones that you would pursue and which ones you would carve out to spend time with. You've made decisions about your relationship with God and what to do in time with Him or how to get to know Him better. There's parenting decisions that you probably make on a daily basis if you're a parent and you're thinking about, okay, what's the wisest thing to do here? What's the wisest thing to say to my child in this situation? What's the best way for me to teach them out of this situation that occurred? What's the best way for me to correct them in a way that would benefit them now and in the future? All kinds of decisions. And then some we would say they're the huge decisions. It's what job to take and what college to attend and what major to choose and what house to buy and all those kinds of big decisions. But small, medium, or large, however you look at it, we make decisions every day. Every day. And every day we need wisdom from God to make the decisions that are best, that would honor Him. So how do we do that? Well, I'll tell you, for me, for a long time in my life, I lived in fear of making the wrong decision. I was kind of paralyzed by fear. It was always the fear of, it wasn't, here's a decision, here's an opportunity. It was, here's a decision, oh my goodness, what if I make the wrong one? And the reason was that my belief system at that time was, and I had heard this so often, was that there was a path. There was one perfect path, okay? There was one perfect path for my life, and if I made a wrong decision somewhere on that perfect path, then I was just going to veer off into oblivion. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was going to, if I make the wrong decision right now on what to do in this situation, then I'm going to be off God's perfect path, and I'm just going to be out way out here. And maybe one day, if God has grace on me, I'll be able to have a relationship with Him again or be able to come back onto the right path. Maybe you've never heard that. I heard that a lot. Some people cash it in the perfect will of God. Does God have a desire for us and a perfect desire for us? Absolutely. But let me tell you something. There is no perfect path laid out in advance for your life that if you make the wrong decision, you've messed up the path for all eternity. You know why? Because Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know in all things God works for the good to those who love Him and who've been called according to His purpose." Now, if I make a wrong decision, or if you make a wrong decision, and you love the Lord and you're trying to do what's best and right, what does that say? God's going to work everything for good for those who love Him and been called according to His purpose. Listen, don't take that verse out of context. Some people say that everything that happens in your life is good. Not everything that happens in our life is good. But the reality is this, God can bring good out of everything in our lives if we love the Lord. So that means if you're making a decision, and even if you made a decision in your flesh, I mean, you didn't even consult anybody, you didn't pray about it, you didn't think about it, you just kind of did it. You know what? God loves you enough to bring you back to where you need to be. And sometimes you may pray about something, look in the Word, talk to other people, and then you come to a decision, and then later you think, it still probably wasn't the best decision, but you know what? God loves you. He loves you. You love Him. He's a God of grace. And there is no path that if you make the wrong decision, you'll never have the relationship with God that you were meant to have for your life. So don't live in fear. Romans 8:28 says not to. I remember the first job that I ever got. The first job that I ever got out of college. For a few months, I moved back home. I was trying to figure out what I was going to do and trying to find a job. But I got like a real job. I didn't go to seminary right after college. I waited for about a year. But I got like one of those real jobs that really pays you and that was the definition of a real job. I didn't have any passion for it. I really didn't want to do it, but it was offered and it paid money, and I thought, what else am I going to do? So I'm going to do it. And so I just said, okay. And I moved to a town where I really didn't know anybody. Now, for me, growing up, I never really struggled with like setting out on my own, you know? I mean, going off to college, boom, I loved that. That was exciting. That was a new adventure to go off to college. The job that come up to go to a different town that I didn't know anybody, that was exciting. Okay, new adventure. I'm just going to set out on a new adventure. Summers, while I was in college, going, working places, living away from home, doing different things. Those were all fun, whether I knew people or didn't know people, had relationships there, didn't have relationships there. But this job, this first job out of college, I went to a new town. I didn't know anybody. I was getting ready to do a job that I had absolutely no passion for. I had found a house, the bottom floor of this house I was going to rent out for myself. And I remember moving in. I remember my parents coming and moving me in. I was about 22 years old. And they moved me in. And when they were getting ready to leave, I had this feeling I'd never had before. I did not want them to leave. I didn't tell them that. But inside, I was filled with fear. I thought, what if I have blown it? What if I have made completely the wrong decision? God, you know my heart. I didn't pray about it. I mean, it was like $35,000. That was enough for me, you know? That was $35,000 more than I was making a week ago. And so, God, what if I've blown it? And all of a sudden, fear just started seeping in. And I thought, my goodness, God, what am I going to do? And I remember my parents driving away, and I was thinking, it really hit me. I am in a town where I know no one. I'm getting ready to do a job that I'm not even really excited about. And I walked into my house, and I already had some mail that had arrived. And I went into the kitchen, I picked up the mail, and there was a card from a friend back home. And growing up, her children, we just grew up together. And she was like a second mother to me. And I picked up that card in Proverbs 3, if you'll open up to Proverbs 3 where you turned just a while ago. In that card, all she had written was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll make your path straight. That's all I needed to hear. Good or bad, indifferent, how I made the decision or whatever. I knew that from now on what I needed to do was to trust in the Lord. And that verse, the Holy Spirit, God used that verse to touch my soul and to help guide me in the decisions that I would be making over the next year. And so when I read that and I saw straight paths, you know, I like straight paths. You know why? Straight paths, there's more than one. It wasn't just the one perfect path that if I made a decision, I would never get back. There were straight paths, and the reason they were straight is because of people who had made right choices and they were living right. They'd made wise decisions. And the reason they made wise decisions for straight paths was they trusted in the Lord and they acknowledged Him. And they didn't lean into their own understanding. They trusted in Him and they acknowledged Him. So how do we do that? How do we make wise decisions? How do we trust Him and acknowledge Him? I'm going to give you three things this morning. The first is this. Is that on this path or on this journey, which is probably a better way to think of it, in your journey with God, the first thing is this, is God has given us, He's given you a map, all right? He's given you a map on how you can make the best decisions possible on the journey that you're on. And that map is the Bible. It's the Bible. And in this book, in this map, are all the answers, in a sense. And you're thinking, well, now I got a question about, you know, what to do about this situation. That's not in there. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it's a map for us. Wouldn't it be neat if the Bible was like MapQuest, you know? I mean, wouldn't it be neat if it did have, I mean, specifically all the answers, exactly what you're looking for, like how to choose the perfect husband, you know? I mean, how to find the perfect husband. And ladies, I'm talking about ladies that aren't married yet. I know some of you still think, where is the perfect husband? But I'm talking about ladies who are still, where is the perfect husband? And which job should I choose? And how should I make a decision about this? And you're thinking, that's not in there. I mean, his name's not in there. And that job's not in there. That city's not in there. That house is not in there. That decision to make, or how to correct how to exactly parent a toddler, that's not in there. Wouldn't it be neat if it was kind of like MapQuest or Yahoo Maps or one of these internet programs that you go in, and if you've never used one of those, what you do is you go in and you put in your location where you are right now at Bricky Elementary, and you put in your destination, wherever it is you want to go, and what happens is it spits you out directions. And specific directions. I mean, it gives you exactly 0.3 miles to the end of the driveway, and then you turn right, and it tells you how many turns, and it tells you exactly the mileage, and it tells you the names of the roads, all the way to your destination. If you were to set out from right now and you wanted to go to Phoenix, Arizona, it would tell you the exact roads from Dry Gap to Emory to I-75 to 640 to 40. It would tell you exactly what to do. Now, wouldn't it be nice if you just took it out, you know, did your little QWERTY, you just kind of typed in your question there. You typed in, okay, this is my destination. My destination is, I don't have a fat clue. Okay, my destination really is, let's pick at something. For us as a church, one of the things we prayed about and talked about is what to do this fall. What does God want from us this fall? And one of the things we're doing is we're going to 2 worship services, and we're going to have a family worship experience for kids in the middle. And so, okay, God, our destination is, what's best for the fall? Our location is, we don't really know. How do we get there? What do we do? And it would be beautiful if we could just type that in and the Bible would just spit that out. But it doesn't. But the Bible does this. The Bible does, listen, it does 2 things. It reflects the heart of God because He wrote it. It reflects God's heart. And so you know about character. And the second thing it does is it reveals enough principles for you to make the decisions in life that you need to make. It reveals principles, okay? And you're thinking about, okay, how do I find the right person to marry? Ladies, how do I find the perfect husband? And it doesn't have his name in there, but it has principles. It says this, the Bible says that we're to love God more than we love our father, mother, brother, or sister. And you read that and you go, well, then the perfect guy for me is going to definitely love God more than he loves me. There's a principle. I don't know his name, but that's a principle. And here's another principle. The Bible says that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I know that a guy's not going to ask me to give him something that belongs to God before we're married. That's a principle. I'm narrowing down the field now. And so you begin to look at God's principles, and through your experience in life situations, the Bible begins to guide you and what's the best and wisest decision to make. God's given us a map for the journey that you're on. And for every decision that you have to make. Every decision. Second thing is this. The second thing we need in making wise decisions is we need other people in our lives. We need traveling companions on this journey. Well, what does that mean? That means that close, godly friends are going to be some of the best resources that you'll ever have in making the right choice. Students, hear me say that again. Godly friends, parents, adults, hear me say that again. Godly friendships in your life are going to be some of the best resources in guiding you to make the right decisions that you'll ever have. And one of the things we have to do is take the initiative to seek those kinds of friendships out. Listen to Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Did you hear that? You surround yourself with foolish people. You surround yourselves with people that don't think, they don't pursue God. Then you're not going to make the right decisions. That's the bottom line. Did you hear that? If you surround yourselves with people who don't pursue God, then you're destined to make the same mistakes over and over and over. But not just surrounding yourself, but if you surround yourself with people who love God and are pursuing Him, and you seek out their counsel about decisions that you're making, you allow them to be the primary influences in your life, then, the Bible said, he who spends time with wise people is going to be a wise person. You seek out wise people, and you seek out people with experience. Wise people and people with experience. Now, why do I say that? If you're trying to make a decision on what to do, you need to seek out people that have experience in that area sometimes. Sometimes maybe it's a generic question, you surround yourself with your friends, but sometimes it's a specific question. You're trying to make a decision. What's best? I have a deadline I have to meet. You know, there's going to be a time I'm going to have to make this decision. What's best for me to do? Now, if I'm trying to make a decision on how to best guide this, if I'm trying to make a decision on how to best guide this church, how to best, let's just take one area. If I'm trying to make a decision on how to best preach on Sunday mornings, how to best work with our team in designing worship experiences that are meaningful, that help us connect with God. If I want to do that, I've got a friend I've had for a long time that owns a trucking company. Do you think I'm going to call him to ask him how to do that? No. Now, I'm going to call him about a lot of other things, but about how to design a worship service, I'm probably not going to call him. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to call friends who do it well. I'm going to call people I don't know. I'm going to spend time reading and finding out. And some of the best resources are going to be people that you know, friends that you know. They're going to be leaders. They're going to be pastors. They're going to be books. But probably the chief influence is going to be friends. And some of your best decisions are going to be made in community. Community. Now, I'm not talking about PAL community or Halls community. What I'm talking about are community, the kind of life you experience with other godly people. Some of your best decisions are going to be experienced in community. And I'm going to give you a great question to ask, whether it's with a group of friends or to one person. What do you think I should do? It sounds like a simple question. But how often do we not even ask anybody? We just do it ourselves. We have a fear maybe of what those people would tell us. Maybe we can't take what they might say. What do you think I should do in this situation? How do you think I should approach this with my kids at this age? What do you think I should do in this business decision, these business decisions, these leadership decisions that I'm having to make? What did you do? What do you think I should do? Here's the whole story. Now, what do you think? Should I go in debt for this? Is that a wise decision? Ooh, we don't like to ask that one a lot. But what's the wisest thing to do? I remember being a college minister. I'd only been a college minister for about 4 or 5 years. And we got a call one day that one of our students had gone on spring break with his home church. He'd gone skiing and had an accident. And what we thought was just going to be a few broken bones got more complicated, and he died. We got a call one day that he'd broken some bones. We got a call about 2 or 3 days later. We were in Alabama, and he was in Georgia, and we got a call about 2 or 3 days later that he had died from complications. And so I remember this was a Wednesday afternoon, and we had Wednesday night worship with our college students. And probably in just a few hours, there's going to be about 150 college students come in, and over half of them already knew that this student that was so, had a beautiful personality and everybody loved, had died that day. And I thought, what am I going to do? I mean, panic and grief and sadness and panic and every panic and everything was just stirring in there. And I was thinking, what am I going to do? I mean, should I just get everybody together? I mean, should we just kind of hang out and let everybody just kind of grieve and talk? Should we have something? I mean, up front, should I have students come up and share like maybe their favorite memory, or should we just kind of have a prayer time, divide up into small groups? I mean, what should I do? I don't know what to do. God, I'm responsible for these people. This has happened. This is happening in a few hours, and I don't know what to do. And so, I just went to a good friend who had been in ministry a lot longer than I had. And I said, what do I do? And he just looked straight at me without thinking and said, God gave you a word for tonight, didn't he? You stand up and you deliver the word God gave to you. and afterwards you invite people to stick around to talk. Whew, all I need to know. That's all I need to know. But you know what? It was somebody with experience. And you're going to have questions in your business, and you're going to have questions with school and friendships and choices. And what you need is somebody who's trusted that you love with experience that you can ask those questions. Third thing is this, and the last thing, is not only has God given us a map, His Bible, not only do we need the companions to go with us, godly friendships, but the third thing is this, we need a personal guide to show us the right path. And the personal guide is this, it's the Holy Spirit. John 14 says this, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. You know who that is? It's the Holy Spirit. Now, don't be freaked out if that's new to you about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. He is God. He's not an it, it's a He. He is God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, when you pray, God the Holy Spirit is your Counselor. He is the one who guides you into truth. He is the one who reveals what Jesus is like to you. And so God the Holy Spirit, as you pray, and praying means this, praying means asking and listening. And we ask and we listen. And sometimes we need to do about 10 times more listening than we do asking. But we listen and we listen and we listen. And some of you know exactly what that's like, because some of you are making decisions right now. And as I've been talking, there's been decisions that have been coming up in your mind. And some of you know the decisions you've made in the past. And you know that you've gone to God and you've asked Him and you've asked Him and you've asked Him. And sometimes God just, I mean, in a real clear picture and through a person like I just talked about a while ago, my friend, God just said, boom, this is what you need to do. And many of you know this. You know the experience of asking and asking and asking and listening and listening and listening. And you still really don't have a peace about it. And so what happens is you do this. Most of the time, the way God's going to speak to us and what's the wisest decision to make is through all three. It's when we go to the Word, and it's when we go to our friends or people with experience, and it's when we go to God in prayer. It's all three. And we go to the Word, and we talk with our friends, and we go to God in prayer. And maybe that happens in a short season, and maybe it happens over a long season. But that's part of the listening, part of the praying, and part of the listening is being in His Word and being with other godly people whose opinion you respect. And so you begin to listen and to listen and to listen. Now, I have two friends in ministry, and I've heard them say two, what almost seems to appear, opposite things when it comes to the voice of God. I've got one friend that I've heard him say this, and he said it passionately, and he said it with conviction, and he said it with all the scriptures that he could muster up, and he said, when you're making a decision and trying to choose what's best or choose what's right, do not move until God speaks. Do not move. Do not go to the right or the left. Don't make a decision. Don't do anything until God speaks. Now, in reality, you know, if you've got a deadline, you're going to have to make a decision whether you hear from God or not. You know? Got another friend that says this. Hey, it's easier to tame a wild stallion than a dead horse. And what you need to do when it comes to you and your relationship with God is you just need to head out. You need to move. You need to bust it. You need to just say, God, here I go. And you just guide me as I go. And as I go, I'll listen to you. I'll lean on you. And hopefully I'll be making the right decisions because you've been investing in me all my life. And hopefully I've got enough common sense to make some of these decisions. I've got enough godly wisdom built in me. And that if I'm beginning to make the wrong decision, you tell me if I'm making the wrong decision. I will pray along the way. But I'm going to move. I'm not waiting around to see what you're supposed to do, what I'm supposed to do. And you'll guide me as I go. Well, both are true. Both are true. And the reality is this, is that as we go, we pray. And we do face deadlines. And as we go, we pray. And I'm going to tell you something. You may say, wow, I'm never coming to church here again. Everybody's like, I don't always have a clear word from God, sometimes even on some of the most important decisions. What I mean clear is I don't hear the audible voice. I don't have the 1,000% peace. Now, I would encourage you when you're choosing a mate, somebody you want to spend the rest of your life with, make sure you got the 1,000%, okay? But when it comes to daily decisions, when it comes to weekly decisions, when it comes to important decisions, you pray, you go to the Word, you go to other people, and sometimes you just don't hear anything. And I believe that in those times, when your heart is right, you've examined all your motives. Let me share this illustration. When I was getting ready to graduate from seminary, and I was graduating, and I'd been interviewing for jobs, I was already in a place that paid me about $7,000 a year to work with some college students in Fort Worth on the campus of Texas Christian University. And it was a very part-time thing. And I was working with these students, and Penny and I both, and we loved it. And we had worked with some other people in ministry, and we had seen this ministry go from about 20 students to about 60 or 80 students, and we had seen God save people. We had seen students begin to follow Him, be excited about God and what He could do in their lives, and give their lives to Him, and spend their summers going overseas to do missions for Him. And we loved this place. There was no doubt in our mind this is where we were supposed to be. And a church that I talked to after I graduated had also invited me to come and work at their church with a salary that was about five times as much. And working in a ministry was a lot larger. And I remember agonizing. I remember there was a church that was, it was just this old, huge church. I think it was a Catholic church that sat up on this hill. And I would just go up there and I would sit outside this door and I would just look over the city of Fort Worth and I would pray and I would pray and I would go up there again the next night and I would go up there again the next week and I would pray and I would say, God, is it about money? God, is it about your kingdom? God, is it about what is it about what you want to do? Examine my motives. Is my heart right? Is my heart pure? God, what is it that you want me to do? And I'm talking to friends and I'm going to the Word and I'm praying to you. And I'm listening and I'm listening and I'm listening. And I never get, this is exactly what you're supposed to do. But you know what? I do hear from God enough. Enough. You hear me? There is no perfect path, and there is no audible voice all the time. But if you've examined your motives, and you've gone to the Word, and you've gone to other people, and you've sought Him in prayer, then God begins to guide us with enough confidence to say, this is the right choice. This is the right choice. This is what I want you to do. But sometimes we have the false impression that we're just going to have this voice. Somebody's going to speak truth right into our lives. It's all going to make it clear. But you know what? If you love the Lord, and the Scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. If you love the Lord and God knows that, and you know your heart and God knows your heart, and you're seeking Him in prayer, and you're going to godly people, and you're going to the Word, don't you think God knows that? God knows that. And you know what? He trusts you. He trusts you to make the best decision with the information that you have. He trusts you to make the best decisions about who you're going to be friends with, and what city you're going to live in, and what major you're going to choose, and what friendships you're going to have, and what business decisions you're going to make, and how you're going to teach your kids this week. He trusts you that if you're going to Him, if you're relying on Him, He trusts you to make the right decision. And sometimes we'll make the wrong one. And He just brings us back. Because He's our guide. He'll guide you. Now, let me say this. There are all kinds of decisions in the world. And there's a lot of decisions that are A and B. Should I do this or this? God, I'm trying to decide, A or B. But there are some decisions, and some of you are here this morning, and God has been speaking to you. And He's saying, I want this from your life. It could be a lot of things. For some of you here this morning, it's, you know what? You've never really surrendered complete control to me. And the decision you've been wrestling with is, do I trust God enough? Do I trust God enough that all the things that I'm worried about, He's going to take care of? Old friendships, old lifestyles. Let me tell you this. When you sense God moving in your life, the right decision is always yes. It's always yes. So wherever you are this morning, whatever you're dealing with God this morning, if He's speaking to you, the right decision is yes. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Him, then what I want to do is invite you to come to know Him. And we're going to bow our heads and I'm going to lead you in a prayer of saying, God, I want You in my life. And if you mean that, the Holy Spirit, God Himself, will come into your life to live forever. Let's pray. If you would bow your head and close your eyes, and I just want to ask.